And welcome back. Another hour of Open Lines for you. By the way, I'm in the cave here in St. Louis. It is absolutely pouring, still raining. They're expecting 5 inches of rain. Plus, I'm flying into Denver for our Beyond Belief TV shows this weekend, where they're expecting a winter storm warning in the spring. Wow, it's everywhere indeed. And by the way, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be unveiling a project for a lot of you who have been sending me emails seeking some medical help and assistance. I won't tell you too much about it now. It's in the digital world. It'll be something that'll help you out tremendously. So just stand by for that when we start to announce that. I think you'll enjoy that. Anyway, we're going to come back for the rest of the calls for the rest of the hour here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Here we go. We're in the Saturday morning already in just about every time zone that listens to us. Let's go back to the phones now. Leanne in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, Leanne. Welcome to the program.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Well, first I want to start out saying I lost my husband on January 2nd of this year. Suddenly, and you have been such a big help getting me through these lonely nights, because he loved listening to you too. We used to sit up all night and listen.
Well, in some respect, he's still listening, I bet.
Yeah, I believe he's still here. And the dreams that I had, a lot of people tell me they were out of fear, you know, because he had a lot of health problems and everything, and he didn't have longevity in his family. He had a brother die a couple of years ago at 50 years old.
Oh, gosh. Way too young.
And then, you know, their mother died at 56 of cancer. And, you know, so none of them, you know, if they talked of somebody dying of old age, and I'd say, well, how old? And, you know, my husband would say 60-something, and I'm like, well, good grief. You know, we got people in our 90s, you know, live to be in their 90s. But these dreams that I would have, well, now, one of them, you know, and I'll try to make them fast, but one of them, and I started having them, I'd say a year and a half before he died, and I would just keep having them over and over and over again.
Recurring dream, the same dream over and over again?
Yes. And the main one that I would have the most would be that I was moving back home with my mother, and for some reason I was really upset with Mike, that was my husband's name, and I couldn't find out where he was. I kept calling the cell phone, and it would just go dead. And I kept asking my mother. I'm like, why can't I get a hold of Mike? You know, I really don't want to move in here with y'all. I want to get back to him, because I guess in the dream, it felt like maybe we were splitting up or something. And I was real upset, and I decided, well, I don't want to move in here with you. I think I want to work things out with Mike. And she would always tell, you know, and I said, but I can't get a hold of him on his cell phone. It just goes dead every time I call. And then, and she would always tell me in the dream, well, you can't get back with Mike. And I'd say, well, why not? He's like, well, you know, he's nowhere around here anymore.
Wow. Yeah, you know. And this was all pre his passing, right?
Right. This was, I'd say, I was having this dream a little over a year before his passing. And it was just so, I would just have this really creepy feeling when I woke
up. Did he die suddenly, Leanne?
Yes. I mean, it was this 2nd of January. He was perfectly fine the day before. You know, we were just you know, planning out our new year, and he had an aneurysm the very next day and was pronounced dead at 1:30 and was exactly 1 week before his 51st birthday.
I would say that your dreams were psychic dreams, precognitive dreams, but they were your in the symbols, because it wasn't a direct dream of him dying. It was a dream of him not being there for whatever reason. And, you know, your conscious mind built the breaking up as the reason why he wasn't there. But in reality, he had passed on. And I'm pretty sure that's what you had. You had not a psychic dream, but you did have this feeling that something was going to happen. And keep listening, and we're here for you if you need us. Annie in Alabama, welcome to the show. Hi, Annie.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey, back in the 90s, I dreamed that I looked out the window and I saw water just almost as far as you could see.
Oh, boy.
Over a foot deep. Soon after that, we had a hurricane, and the building was had water coming in, and we were fighting the water with brooms and squeegees, and I ordered sandbags, and we had to build a levee to save the building. It was coming in under the foundation some way. And then before Katrina and before that tsunami, I dreamed that the water was coming in way over people's heads. And soon after that, we had Hurricane Katrina and the tsunami.
Are you having any more of these dreams?
Yeah, I have them a lot.
Oh,
and
great.
Then there was another thing when Jim Croce was in the plane crash.
Yep.
Right before that plane crash, I had a bad feeling about Jim Croce getting onto a plane, and he was one of my favorite singers. And it was so overwhelming that I actually tried to get him on the phone and tell him that whatever plane it was, I advised him not to get on it, and I never was able to reach him.
Wow. I wonder what they would have done, even with your message. I wonder if they would have reacted to that.
He might have. If I could have gotten him, he might have. I don't know.
No, you don't. Annie, thanks for your call. Next up, we go to Lucy in San Antonio, Texas. Hello, Lucy.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Oh, I'm so glad I got to talk to you. I have had some dreams, and there's several that are relative for right now.
Okay.
Others that I've had many others, but these two are relative. Well, there's actually three that are. Well, I dreamt 9/11 in 1998 in the beginning of fall.
What did you see in the dream, and did you know what it was?
No. I asked so many people what this meant, and they said, you know, they just didn't know. And one friend that jokes around a lot, she said, "It means you're crazy, Lucy. That's what it means."
What was the dream like?
Oh, Lord. I saw, I had angels, one on each side of me, guarding me. And I, it was kind of in the sky. It was in the sky, and I saw these airplanes just going to and fro, and I thought, what in the world? Why do I see this? And then the angels, or the Lord, I don't know how to differentiate, said, look at the tails of the airplane. Look at the tails. And so I looked, and it said American Airlines. And I saw, how was it, the Twin Towers.
You saw them in the dream?
I was in it, right at the windows. I don't know how I flew to that place. And this is a dream. I was right there with my palm on the glass, just kind of in spirit.
Inside and, looking out.
Right. And I saw, it was in Portland. I thought I was in Portland, Oregon, because that's the only twin centers that I knew about, trade centers that I knew about.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't studied geography or that type of thing. I'm civil structural engineering, a CAD project manager. So
all right.
That's nothing like geography. But so I was standing or floating. My spirit was there. And these guys in a plane were coming right at me.
You could see them.
Oh, yeah.
Standing in the window, you could see the planes coming at you.
Yeah, and he was fumbling and fumbling with he didn't know how to use the machine, the plane, and he was fumbling and fumbling. And then he looked up and saw me, and glass shattered everywhere and more. And I remember telepathically what his thought was. His thought was to kill. And I looked at him, and I go, why? This was in spirit or telepathically or whatever you want to call it. It was like you couldn't utter it. You couldn't say it. The thoughts were so fast. And I knew I could see his heart, see everything that he was thinking. And he saw what I was thinking. And I told him spiritually, why? Why? Because I was not privy to all the stuff people we were messing with.
See, when this happened, Lucy, after 9/11 happened, when did it click that this dream was something you were having? Like instantly?
I was asleep, and somebody came in and said, go turn the TV on, turn the TV on. Somebody hit the World Trade Center. And I said, what? And just turn it on. And so I turned it on. And I saw, they said, American Airlines, 9/11, and I saw the glass. You know, the tall building and the glass.
Just like you saw in the dream.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, are you getting any more dreams about anything else?
Yes. I had one in 2003.
What was it?
It hasn't happened yet, but I had been fasting. I was going to fast for 40 days. I started in January the 1st. I try to do that every year.
40 days?
Yes. It's not a... It's just... I don't know. This is just the fast that I'm given to do. It's no garlic, no onions, no meat, no dairy. It's just...
Sounds like no nothing.
No caffeine, no alcohol. You just cook the lentils and eat them. cook the beans and eat them.
For 40 days. But anyways, this other dream, this new dream is what?
It was 2 weeks. And I got up and got down on my knees. And I got up extra early so I could pray before I started the day and went to work. So I got up early to pray every morning. Well, one night, like to several weeks, I got another dream. And you can tell because they're so vivid. Like the other guy was telling,
it's sure.
So vivid.
Oh yeah, it's like real, real life.
More than real, because there's a vivid dream, like you don't really see in our life. It's just so vivid, and I was standing in Houston, Texas, and there was a road, and I think it's Westheimer, and it meets the. There's a beltway.
All right.
I think it's Beltway 8. And there's a strip mall right there. And I was inside the strip mall with this guy that was like a soldier guy, an army or soldier guy that went to the church in that. There was a church that always met at this one building, and it was my sister's church. And there was this glass, tinted glass that you could peel from the inside, and he and I were peeking through those where it had been peeled off.
Yeah, okay.
And this is very important. What we saw is very important.
Inside the church?
I was inside, but we were looking at the street.
Okay, you're looking out.
And what we saw on the street is so important, because there was a field across the street, and there was the street going one way and the street going the other way. I saw an airplane that was so huge, and it had like camouflage. It was old, and I thought, why would we fly an airplane that old? And then I saw a beautiful, shiny plane, but it was tiny. And I thought, there you go, that's our plane. And then I saw the man come out, and it was our guy. I go, oh, it's our guy. But I couldn't imagine why he was so small. And the guy that came out of the big airplane was so tall and strong. And I said, why is our army or armed forces looked at us so low? This is not real. Why are they looked at so low, like disrespected? And even they felt shame for they just weren't proud. Like,
where do you think the big plane was coming from? Because that has a lot to do with this dream.
That's a big deal. So the Lord said, look at his shirt. And I said, you in? I said, it does. They go, no, look at this shirt. And it said, UNIT. It's United. Look at all of it. And it said, UNITED, nations.
Yep.
And I go, oh, they came to help. They came to help. And then this is a thing. They go, no.
They came to take over.
They've come to take what you own.
That's an interesting, scary dream all by itself. I sure hope that's not a precognitive dream or a psychic dream. I just hope it's a nightmare. I really do. Strange times. How do you concentrate on all this when you're trying to just, you know, put your family stuff together and your job and your everything, and then you've got all these outside influences? It's really crazy. I mean, I am serious. I think President Trump needs to go to former basketball star Dennis Rodman, who Kim Jong-un loves, send him over there, and work this out. Because this is madness that we're going through right now. Pure madness. Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, Corny.
Hey, George, how you doing there?
Oh, man. Get your Bible bullets and everything ready, right?
Get your God guns of gold, Bible bullets and beads, and let's get ready with George and Ore's army.
Yeah, we're going to need it.
I didn't know Ms. Donna was going to put me on that quick. I said, whoa. Hey, George, you know, I had a great idea for you. There was a lady that called in from Honolulu, Hawaii, or somewhere in Hawaii.
Yes.
She wants to come to one of your meet and greet things.
Right.
But she's on a fixed income. And I wouldn't mind donating, or if we could get a, because I'm not on the internet and none, and some of the coast-to-coast listeners and stuff, I wouldn't mind donating, you know, some money to her to try to get her to one of your shows and stuff.
Well, we have quietly in the past gotten some people to our events who couldn't afford it. We don't broadcast it for obvious reasons, but we will take note of that, Corny. But, you know, our next event is July 29th in Everett, Washington, and Hawaii's a long way, so that would cost you a small fortune. Maybe we'll do an event in Hawaii one day. That's possible. Very possible indeed. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, just a very quick one. Then we're going to come back with final open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, this weekend we have Mr. Dave Schrader on Saturday and George Knapp on Sunday, keeping you with 7 live shows a week all the time on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go back to the calls. Shira in Sacramento, California is with us. Welcome to the show, Shira.
Hi, George.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good. I hope you are too.
Oh, I'm getting there. And I'll ask first to say some prayers, send out the prayer list for me, because I got to go for more tests this week.
All right, you're on the list.
Better, but I want to make sure that everything's good, so I'm getting checked out.
Okay.
And I also want to say, too, thank you for just always being there for us, being a calm voice of reason with all the craziness going on, a beacon of light in the darkness. Thank you for everything that
you're welcome.
All of your crew do for us.
I have a feeling we're going to need that calming effect much more than we think.
I think so, too. I'm going to try to jump through this real quick because I know we're running out of time. I've been calling for last year after I told you about the loss of my kitty. And it actually started with my cousin who died and then warned me in my dream about my cat that something was going to happen to her, and all the loss I went through with that, and then my grandma got sick.
Well, you got hit with all kinds of things.
Yeah, all of it last year. Well, I kind of made a little pact with myself and said, something happened to grandma. It's time for me to move out of California. Just need a change. And the first place on my list was Seattle. Grandma passed one day after her 94th birthday in January. The day after, I reconnected with an old friend of mine that last I spoke with him, he was living in Vegas, was married at the time, isn't now, and we reconnected. Come to find out, he's back out in Seattle, and I went to visit him, and now we are in a wonderful, happy, blissful relationship.
Super.
And I just think, you know, sometimes there can be good things. You can never replace the loss of loved ones, but sometimes doors open. I couldn't travel when my cat was sick. After she passed, it allowed me to be able to go see Grandma. Grandma's passing is allowing me to be able to move on and start a new chapter in my life. And I met this wonderful person that supports me and loves me, and it's just really...
See, it's magical, Shira.
It is magical. It's synchronicity. I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time because I know how much you appreciate synchronicity. And this is exactly what it was.
That's super. And you didn't have to meet on ParanormalDate.com either.
No, we didn't. But he loves the paranormal, and so do I. So we have
that helps.
To talk about.
That sure helps. Thanks, Shira. And you keep getting better. You're on the prayer list, so you're there. Let's go to Royal Oak, Michigan. Steve's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the show.
Well, Mr. Norrie, it is an honor to talk to a homegrown boy.
Yes.
That's good, and been Michigan such honors that I cannot say enough accolades.
Yeah, I've got to get back there in June to see Mom, by the way, so I'm going to do that on one of my trips.
Well,
you there?
Yeah, I said you bet. You'll be in big time trouble.
Yeah, you bet. You better believe that.
Anyways, thank you, sir, for your service.
Oh, thank
I know
you.
You got people piled up. So here's what I've had three times, and if I break down, okay, this is how intense it is.
Okay.
I'm in some futuristic war. That's all I can think it to be. I'm in some kind of a machine. There's five entities in this machine with me, and we're all. You know, the band of brothers. Okay, I guess I'm a sub-commander or something, and the woman to my left must be the commander. All right? The two other beings, well, there's three, they look like a hybrid dog-cat-human.
Okay.
And the one behind it looks like a jello, like a gelatinous thing in a human form.
Like a blob type.
Well, it looks like a human, but there's no definite shape.
All right.
So we're advancing on this thing, and again, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's black, it's big, it has tendrils, like huge squid-type legs, and they're whipping around, and there's all these electrical bolts from it. This machine I'm in has, you know, screens and buttons and everything, and I look off to my right, and there's more of these machines. And George, we're floating. We're not on tracks or anything. We're floating towards this thing. And it's like shooting, like a kid, you know, the kid with the pea shooter shooting peas.
Yeah.
We've got all this armor and all this advancing army, and we're shooting this thing, and it's like shooting at a grizzly bear with a pea shooter. Okay. And I'm not Catholic, sir, but I can hear this in my head. I'm saying, okay, the rosary. Okay.
and fast too, probably.
I'm sorry?
And you're saying it fast.
This thing is basically there, and we're moving towards it, but as we advance, everything in front of us is being destroyed. And I know I'm going to die, okay? But that's the warrior's way, okay? And all of a sudden, on the intercom chatter, there comes this, they're here, yay, and there's a big yay, and there is a bolt of light so intense, it blinds everybody. And I wake up, okay, and I have this feeling of relief. What the hell is that?
That is bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
One time dream? Just once?
Three times in my past, say, 20 years.
Same dream.
Basically, yes. We're fighting some kind of a black, dark energy that you can't destroy.
God, I'd love to get to a dream interpreter for that, Steve, and see if they can, because the technology has something to do with the dream, and the fact that you've had it three times now is strange all by itself. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, if you're listening, what does that mean? Let's go to Mark in Phoenix, Arizona. Mark, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
George, how are you, sir?
Thank you, Mark. Good.
Well, I know you as the Nighthawk coming from St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
It's gone back a few years. Appreciate you, and again, apologize for the loss of your father.
Thank you.
But I thank you for your service. The reason I'm calling is in regards to a recurring dream I do tend to have. It takes place in Erbil, in San Juan area of the city, which is kind of the southwest side of the city.
All right.
It's closer to the where the hospitals are, a little bit away from where the airport is, just kind of kitty corner. And as my unit is moving forward, we're kind of going down an alleyway, and you know, you stand about 3 feet off the wall because the bolts ricochet, so you don't walk along the wall itself, you stand off of them. And but as I come around a corner, and I'm coming into an open courtyard where the gate is open, and I see these little feet, and they're the feet of a child. They're so little and cute. But as I corner, I receive fire, and it from the child. But I never see the child's face, but I receive fire, and it takes me down, and I immediately wake up. There's no question about it. So I never see the child's face or anything, but I can tell it is a young child, and so I continually have that. Now, that's not something that actually happened, but I've been in that situation.
Do you die in the dream?
And not, I fall on the ground and I feel my life force moving elsewhere.
Right, it's coming out of you.
I don't necessarily die because I typically wake up beforehand, but I do have it frequently. And it's not something that happened, even though I have been wounded a number of times, but I still have that. And that's the haunting one, is because of the child, I think.
And what do you think the significance of the child might be?
I think it's more of the innocence of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where a child who may have been conditioned for, whether he's protecting his, and like your dog barks at the door or a kid comes through. I think it's just a cross-cultural type of deal. But it was I have it. Frequently, and it does. It's the most disturbing dream that I have.
It's got to be pretty jarring, to be sure. Jeez, lots of different dreams, and at the same time, a lot of similar type dreams of something happening, something impending. First time caller, Joseph is in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, sir. How are you doing?
Good, Joe. Thank you.
I can't believe I got through the first time I called.
You did. We got a few minutes for you too.
Oh, okay. Well, this is going to sound kind of impossible, but I'm kind of the psychic that the stars come to when if they're looking for some vehicle.
All right.
Want me to tell you the very first part of it?
Sure.
Well, I was working in a gas station, and this man came in, and he said his name was Paltrow. I recognized his daughter. And I told him that I'm kind of a psychic. I said maybe I could help your daughter with her career. So I said there's a friend of hers that has the script for Shakespeare in Love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I told him that I think her girlfriend had the script and asked her if she could get one too. But I don't know, she may have just taken, and that was, what's her name? The brunette, what's her name? Oh, crap.
That's all right.
Oh, that's all right. Anyway, she got the script, and she made it, and she got an Academy Award. Somehow, it's gotten around that I can help people.
That's amazing.
And the next person that came to me was Charlize Theron.
Oh, great actress.
Yes. And she said she heard from people that I might be able to help her. So I told her about, like, 10 years ago about...
And this is before they hit it big, Joseph?
Well, yes. Well, they already were big. But this helped them a little bit more. I told her about... she should probably get with the Ridley Brothers and get herself into the next Alien movie, which was then, wait a minute.
And I think she did, too.
Yes, she did. She got into the Prometheus. I told her that, and I told her a little bit about the pod in it and everything. I also told her that maybe she could talk to the Marshall guy.
How do these things happen? I mean, do you just have these feelings?
Just come into a grocery store. I'm shopping usually by myself without my wife.
And people seek you out now?
Yes. Not too long ago. Well, yeah, I got Fury Road for Charlize that time. I told her she should probably do something called The Huntsman.
That's amazing. You should go out to L.A. You'd be the... psychic to the stars with that kind of ability to do something like that. You really would. Hey, don't forget this weekend, it's Dave Schrader on Saturday, George Knapp on Sunday, and I will be right back on Monday for a whole week of shows for you on Coast to Coast. I'm going to Denver tomorrow to tape some new BeyondBelief.com episodes for you, so I hope you all watch those and enjoy them as well. It's been a great week, but it's been a tough week for a lot of people, too. Lots going on, and we'll stay with you all the way.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people. And they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night. And I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light. I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Alex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.